Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, happy Wednesday, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is Wednesday, October 9th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Tim. We would love to hear your comments and questions, because then that makes this your show. So now let's welcome Dr. Tim in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Well, thank you, Michelle, and thank you for being here to support us in running the switchboard and the chat room. And
my pleasure.
Pardon me?
I said my pleasure. I've enjoyed all the extra time that I'm getting to do this process. It is very helpful.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's greatly appreciated. It's much easier to do the show if there's somebody else watching the switchboard in the chat room. And we're here doing it because Michael and Jeannie Rice are in Denmark. And currently, right now, it's about 7 o'clock at night there, and they're in a conference. Niels Bohr was a physicist that's being honored in this 3 or 4 day conference they're attending. And so they're hobnobbing with people that are studying different levels of science and humanities and spirituality, and I look forward to hearing their reports in the coming days as they're joining us again, maybe as early as Friday. And they'll join us and once again talk more about this ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness. It's a tool that's offered, and thanks to Dr. Rice and Jeannie and Susan and Susan's sister and, oh, just a host of people, including Magda and Julia Hartland and David Hayes, who was there supporting this work for years. These tools are being offered for free. And when I say for free, I mean you don't even have to give your email address. You can just go to the website and download it. And you can download a tool that will help you remove any energies in your system that leave you feeling less love. So if you're feeling angry about something that happened or didn't happen that you wanted to have happen in your life, if you're in a relationship with someone and you keep getting triggered to feeling sadness or fear of losing the relationship or anger at the other person or worry of being abandoned, all of those energies are removable. They're energies that reside within you, and there's a free tool on the website at whyagain.org, whyagain.org, that's available to help you remove anything that's less than love and restore the focus of your conscious awareness to your true nature as the energy of love and creation, and improve the quality of your life and improve the quality of your relationships. And that's what we're here to help support. In our world, in our culture, we've been taught that forgiveness means to let somebody else off the hook for something they did to us. And in truth, what that really means is pardoning someone, to understand that someone did something that was wrong and I'm angry at them and I have a right to be angry at them and I have a right to expect them to act differently. But rather than punish them, I will pardon them. I will give up the need to want to punish them or see them punished, and I will allow them to move on with their life and allow me to move on with my life without demanding that they be held accountable or that they be punished in some way for what they did. That would be pardoning. And that's a nice thing to do. It's a healthy thing for me because it takes the focus of my awareness off of the anger or resentment. But it's not forgiveness. Forgiveness originally meant a tool for going into my mind and my body's energy system and removing the false data that I used to construct an image in my mind that said that somebody else actually did something to hurt me, or that what somebody else did or said is causing my upset. Now, it's true, sometimes people do very hurtful things, mean things, rude things, angry things, but when that happens, that's not causing my upset. It might send out some energies that I choose to interpret in a way, and I use what's in my mind to build a picture in my mind that says somebody else is hurting me and causing my anger. But it's never coming from outside of me. And we had a call yesterday near the end of the radio show from Richard, which is a very interesting set of questions about the difference between something being resonated inside of me and something being caused by something outside of me. And the words can sometimes get quite confusing because we're only using words to point at an experience. The words cannot accurately describe the process or the experience. But words are things we use to point at what people might do to try it out for themselves so they can usher themselves into their own experience of love and acceptance and experience the process of transformation that comes when they own their own internal process and dialogue and take responsibility for removing the energies within their system that are less than love. So that's what we're here to help support doing. The webpage, whyagain.org, has free download of Chapter 24 of Michael's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again?, which describes the process. A free download of the seven-step version of the worksheet process. And 6 downloads of audio shows where Michael and or Jeannie have stepped people through that process. And it's really a tutorial on how to use this forgiveness process. And it's a living tutorial because these are examples of real people who called in with real problems and they've used the tool. And you can hear that and apply that to your own problems. And with a little bit of practice, you can become a master of the process of forgiveness, which is what we're here to support people doing, and we're here to have your questions or comments or testimonials. So I'll throw it open to Michelle to see if there's anybody with their hand up.
Well, yeah, it's Wednesday, and as you might expect, Dora is there with her hand up for Unstuck Wednesday. So, hi, Dora. I've got you live now.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Yes. So it's Wednesday, day we've chosen to work on becoming unstuck, and Michael had presented the challenge to me last week about me trying to get off of sugar, and we were going to do a 30-day challenge, and I said, oh, yes, Michael, I'm right there with you. Yes, I can do it. Of course, I haven't done a thing all week, so it was just that fear And so as I'm doing my sheets, I realize that my big fear is losing the weight. And I'm thinking, oh, please. Because my pattern is I give up the sugar, I exercise, and the weight just comes off. Go figure, you know. And so then I have to go panic, and I go, oh, no, quick, sabotage. We can't do this. So now I'm shifted, and now just I'm doing my work on the fear of losing the weight and see where that brings me. So that's my update from Michael's challenge.
Wonderful. That's a process many of us have been through, starting and thinking that the real issue is the sugar and discovering the real issue is some set of emotional beliefs that are completely unrelated to the actual sugar. So congratulations on being willing to do that work, and we'll look forward to hearing how it goes for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I was very pleased to have that issue surface. And sometimes the issue can surface and I just don't pay attention to it. But now it's like, okay, now it's time to revisit this issue and just go ahead and clear it out and see what I can get to the bottom of it. So this should be interesting, but I will keep you posted. And how are you doing, Michelle?
I'm fine today, thank you. Tuesday night in Lansing is our dedicated Mind Shifters support group. So I found that to be very helpful last night.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well,
and I also,
I
think it's yes. brave. I think it's brave to we were talking about mistakes a little bit yesterday. You know, I don't know, like the courage that you demonstrate to like come on the radio and say Michael challenged me and I didn't do it. I might keep that closer to my chest. So yeah. I just admire that.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's like, you know, it is how it is. And as long as I keep plugging away and I'm not afraid to see the issue, which I'm not, I've been doing this for so long. And when it's at a deeper core level, then, okay, door, face it and just do it. And know it'll all work out. Yeah. So it always does work out.
No, I work in addictions, and one of the things you'll hear people talk about is you're only sick as your secrets. And so it's very inspirational to hear you be able to talk about that and then face it and heal it. So it's good role modeling.
Thank you. Good. Well, I'm sure Jeannie and Michael are doing well. It'll be good to hear their progress report and how they're doing. And I guess that's it for today.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, and we look forward to hearing updates on either your worksheet process or your getting unstuck on this particular issue.
Great. Thank you. Hope you
All
both
right,
have
take
a good
care.
Week now. Thanks.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
So, Michelle, anybody else with their hand up?
Nope, not right now. And
okay, well, we had our support group last night as well in Woodstock, and we watched the hour-long video of Dale Allen Hoffman, who as a young man went to the intensive center in Missouri and discovered that Michael's work with the ancient Aramaic was really intended to be Dale's life work. And so he's been doing that work, studying as an academic and now studying as a mystic, which simply means he actually applies these skills in his life rather than just study about them academically. And he's looking at the true meaning from the ancient Aramaic of many of the words and the phrases and the concepts. And just like Dr. Rice discovered, there's so much that is changed as if they go from one language to another, where there aren't really words in one language to describe the concept that's being presented in another language. And there's so much that gets changed by the cultural lens or view. So that, for example, if you're looking at something in our culture where, relatively speaking, men and women are relative equals, and there are big pushes to have women do more work in the science, technology, engineering, and math fields, and more and more women are getting into leadership positions in government and major corporations. And if you have that culture and some basic concept from that culture, and you try and translate it into a culture where women are second-class citizens, they're not allowed to hold a position in a religion, they're not allowed to work outside the home, many of the concepts we would talk about simply aren't going to translate into that culture. And the same was true as they were going from the ancient Aramaic, which is what Jesus or Yeshua lived in that culture as a Torah-abiding Jew, but with knowledge of the physics, the energy of emotions, the energy of thought, the physical energy of the human body, that our current scientists with quantum physics are just now beginning to tap into. And when you take that level of knowledge and understanding from the ancient Aramaic and try to translate it into a culture like the ancient Greeks, which were very concrete thinking, very physically violent, very much the idea that all power and authority was outside the person, all the gods were on Mount Olympus, they were external, they had the power. It was a constant battle between the gods and the humans. Most of those concepts that Yeshua was talking about were simply impossible for the Greeks to understand. Yeshua said things like, "The Father within me does the work. I myself do nothing, but the Father within me can do all things. Heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's within. It's now." And you translate that into a Greek culture where the gods live up on a mountain and they're violent and we have to constantly placate them and make offerings to them, and they're external to us, and we have to hope and pray that they're on our side so they don't destroy us. Well, there's no way to make sense of what Yeshua was teaching in that culture. And so Dale Allen Hoffman has spent the last 19 or 20 years studying the ancient Aramaic and studying different languages like Latin, and the words of Yeshua and the Gospels that have been hidden from most of the modern Bibles, and ancient texts from that time period, and putting together his best understanding of Yeshua's teachings. And he's worked with people like Albert LaChance, who is a modern-day Christian mystic, has been spending 40 years or more now studying and applying what he's learned in his life through prayer, meditation, chanting, intonation. And this hour-long talk by Dale Allen Hoffman was highlighting several key concepts for us to take a look at in our own lives and to try to get a feel for as we read what Yeshua was talking about. If there's a stress or a conflict in my life, for me to tune into what my body's energy is telling me, and use my breath to stay connected to the energy and the idea of he discussed so many different concepts in that lecture. The idea that in the ancient Aramaic, Yeshua was talking about the breath, the holy breath of God, the all-encompassing breath of God. And he said that the unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's how it came to us from the Greek translation. But when you see the ancient Aramaic, Holy Spirit meant the all-encompassing breath of God. And the word blasphemy in the ancient Aramaic meant to cut yourself off from. So the unforgivable sin, and again, in the ancient Aramaic, sin wasn't some mistake you made that damned you to hell or made you a bad person. Sin is simply being off the mark. And so the one error that causes severe damage is to cut yourself off from the all-encompassing breath of God, of life. So this was a teaching about when you're in a tight, tense mode, when you get a negative emotion generated within you, keep your breath moving. Breathe and soften what is tense within you. Relax the resistance within you and stay connected to the all-encompassing breath of God. It wasn't a religious proclamation that said, you have to listen to what we say or you're going to be damned to hell. One of the other things he talked about was the word Satana in the ancient Aramaic. And if in the ancient Aramaic, the word Satana was a word that made reference to the fact that if I cut myself off from the tension or the resistance or the negative emotions within me, or I try to separate myself from somebody else by blaming them for a negative feeling that I'm experiencing, then I am in Satana. I have now stopped all possibility of learning and growth from the moment because I'm not softening what's tense within me. I'm not making my home in the breath, and I'm not understanding that any negativity I feel is part of me. I'm not seeing it clearly, so I've cut myself off from the truth, and I am in Satana. It's not that there is a separate being called Satan that's doing anything to me. So we spent an hour last night in our support group listening to him give segments for various talks that he's given, highlighting a lot of these different concepts. And it really stirred up a lot of good discussion in the group, and it stirred up a lot of strong reactions from people. And so, once again, I'm highly grateful for all of the people who give up their time on Tuesdays to come to Woodstock, Illinois, participate in that support group, and they bring their love, they bring their support of others, they bring their willingness to look at their own issues, and they help us create what is, for me, one of the highlights of my week, each and every week. So, I'll stop there, take a breath, and see if anybody has any questions or comments, or anybody has a hand up, or if you have a question or comment, Michelle.
No, I'm listening to the testimonial, really, and wondering, you know, where we're going to get a tape, because I think that probably is going to be on our agenda before the end of the year. Sounds pretty cool. And also gets me even more excited just hearing, like, your experience of that. Dr. Rocco Errico is coming to Lansing this weekend, and so he's offering a presentation to the community in Lansing, and similar to what you're describing, Dale, is the similar embracing studying of Aramaic and the translating Bible and then sharing those truths and principles with people all over the world.
Yes, and Dale knows Rocco Errico, and he even mentions him at one point in the talk, and he says, the difficulty is people come to these talks, whether it's Dale Allen Hoffman or Rocco Errico or Michael Rice, or Guy Finley, and they're coming and they want to know, what's the key? What's the one word? What trick can I learn? And Dale's point is, there isn't any one key. There isn't any trick to this. This is a life process. We are creating our experience in each moment by what we choose to focus our conscious awareness on. And if we choose to focus our conscious awareness on the hallucination our mind creates that tells us somebody else has hurt us, somebody else has offended me, somebody else is making me angry or sad or scared, then I'm using my mind energy, the creative force given to me as a gift, I'm using it to create more negativity in my life. And if I understand that that mind energy is a creative force, and that the negative emotions I'm feeling are my alarm system to tell me I'm misusing my creative force, then I can shift the focus of my conscious awareness and begin creating a more loving, a more creative, joyful, constructive experience of life moment to moment. And in so doing, I bless myself and all of those around me. And that's what we're here to support people doing. And we have specific tools for that, as well as recommendations to listen to people like Dale Allen Hoffman and Rocco Errico and Albert LaChance, because they will give us a more fluid process that we can tap into. So there you go.
Just to play off that, last night in our support group, we finished watching the second half of Communication, Did You Hear What I Think I Said? And that's a seven-step process where you take responsibility for your communication and in the process that heals in and of itself when you focus the energy toward not blaming something outside you. And at one point, Michael pointed that concept out, that of all the creatures that inhabit the earth, we are the only ones who are given the gift and power of choice in that creation. And so it just, you know, for me, framed it in a way like how wonderful and amazing and I guess hopeful that gift is once you use practical tools, like Michael's teaching, to, I guess, work with it in a loving way.
Well, that lecture on communication, Did You Hear What I Think I Said, holds so much power for those who really delve into it and choose to use it in their daily lives, that 20 viewings would not be enough to unravel all that that lecture holds. And go ahead.
I couldn't agree with you more. It was, you know, people, I hear people say this, they see something and they see something and then they watch it, you know, 10 years later, and then they feel like it's the first time. I mean, that is how profounding, in the sense that, like, the little things, the more you do the work, the more you see where you've got resistance or where there are barriers or, you know, difficulties, and then you watch something like that tape, and then there's more keys and more pathways to, like, oh, well, there we go. I know, you know, another way to navigate this time, especially when we have our group discussion and then people share how they perceived it. And sometimes that, too, is like bridges the gap of understanding in terms of how they heard it and what it meant to them versus, you know, sometimes being confused about it. I like that one. I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's a... What's powerful is the basics. And I remember a time when I was teaching a communication skills class to community college students, and it was a part of an assignment for a practicum that I had. And when I got the assignment, I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm studying to be a licensed clinical psychologist for a doctorate in clinical psychology, and I'm reading about reflective listening and, you know, active listening. I said, I'm so beyond this. This is so boring. And as I took the class and stepped them through, and I had to read the chapters first and then present them to these students, I watched how much better I got in doing therapy with people. And I was amazed. I would read a chapter and I'd say, oh, yeah, here's something I haven't done in a long time. Let me try that. I would try it in a session, and it would open up a new door. And by the time I finished teaching that class three or four times, I was a better therapist because I went back to the basics.
Basics, yeah. Dr. Tim, I think you and I could probably banter back and forth for another half hour. And there is a list of, or you know, lineup here of people with their hand up. So I recognize a number from yesterday that we weren't able to get to. So I'm going to start with 970. 970, hi.
Hello.
You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hello, Michelle and Dr. Tim. This is Brad in Southwest Colorado.
Hi, Brad.
Calling to give you kind of an update since I last called in. And Dr. Tim, I know that last time I called in, you know, I kind of felt that I was stuck in, you know, my work and was trying to figure out which direction I should take. And that even had to do with professional counseling. And what I want to let you know is I thank you for your support and the way that you did it. Also, Michael, and also what Jeannie did, because what it did was allow me to go a little further deep inside myself and unlock a lot of those things and peel off more layers since then. I've since come to a higher level of understanding of where I'm at and where I need to go. And like Michael pointed me in the right direction of saying, it sounds like you're doing the work, just keep doing it. That's what I've been doing. And since then, I feel more and more layers are coming up. And the next level is in some way harder than what the others were, but I'm up to the challenge, and I'm working through that with my wife because so much of what we are dealing with right now has to do with us and our marriage. And my feelings and my emotions have always been something I've had a hard time communicating and feeling comfortable with and letting others know. And I've also come to, I guess, maybe a further realization that a lot of it is, I believe, genetic. My parents were not good communicators. They held a lot back. There was a lot there between, which I know you understand about being Native American, where a lot of Native Americans had to learn how to suppress emotion. And that goes clear back in, you know, to our ancestors. And I've had that, I believe, a big problem with that in my life, and I'm learning how to open up more and try to convey what I really feel and being open and honest so I don't have to harbor all this shame and guilt all the time. So I just wanted to give you both an update and thank you for everybody's support. I even feel bad energy from others. And it's been a help. Great. Thank you.
Well,
that's
it's
awesome.
And thank you for calling and giving us the update. And thank you for doing your work, because as Michael likes to point out, there's a line from the Course in Miracles that says, millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do today. And there's another line that has something about when you're healed, you're never healed alone. So I applaud you for being willing to pick up some tools wherever you get the tools and apply them to the pain, the sadness, the fear in your life and dismantle it. And I look forward to further updates as you just keep moving forward. And if there's something we can do to support you, please let us know.
Brett, is your wife there with you today?
Yes, she is.
Hello, Michelle. This is Cindy.
Hi there. Hi. You know, because I appreciate everything Brett's saying. It's very exciting and certainly a demonstration of his willingness. But I'd like to hear what you experienced with some of the changes at home.
Absolutely amazing thing. Going from the heights of heights to the depths of the depths. Absolutely impossible to describe, but it's really beyond words what I'm experiencing. To see, I'm experiencing it myself, but I also see it in Brad's eyes, and I feel it from him. He's actually touching me, and he's present. He's here. It comes in and it goes. It's in and out, but it's miraculous.
The emotion is evident in your voice, and I understand why the words are difficult to find. Sounds like there's a lot of love that's becoming more available to you as a healing couple.
Yeah. We're getting ready to go to a family wedding on Saturday, and we are thrilled and delighted to be able to go as the presence of love and just be there. This is a wedding that involves my ex-husband, my children, our entire family will be there, and it's going to be so much better because of the place that Brad and I are in now. And we're going to carry the banner. And we're going to do that just by being who we are now and understanding and believing that the energy that we are creating and realizing ourselves is enough, that all we have to do is go there and just be who we are now, and that will be our way, our gift, our wedding gift to our family.
Sounds like quite a gift, and especially if you keep in mind that you are the active presence of love and that the active presence of creation is breathing through you and living you in each moment. And if you can keep that top of mind, that'll be quite a gift to yourselves and everyone in your family.
Well, one thing I've also realized, you know, this is my first marriage. I was 59 years old before I ever tied the knot for the first time. I also realized that I thought I was prepared for this. I realize now, oh God, how unprepared I was for it. And it's brought up a lot of things. You know, from life, the way I lived my life in the past to even, you know, the genetic side of my family, about a lot of what did not take place in a good way. And so it's given me the opportunity to face the greatest challenge I've ever faced in my life. And that's to, more than anything, to learn how to even love myself. Because that's been pretty absent in my life. And I do realize, you know, how important it is to develop that oneself so you can also be freely willing to give that to others as well as receive it. And that I was not good at for all these years, and I'm now learning to let that in. I also realized that that was you know, I was created in that essence. I was given that gift and that right to be able to do both of those things. And why I locked it out for so long, well, I know as a result of how I lived my life. I lived much of my life in, you know, chasing the satiation factors around and trying to live life large and being so much in denial and not feeling, just blocking it out and trying to bring the next thing that got the adrenaline pumped up or tried to make me feel alive where I didn't think that, you know, one could experience being alive. And I tried to replace it with all the wrong things. So grateful am I to all those who helped support me in this work, and grateful am I to, you know, our Creator for showing the love and the compassion He has for me, and knowing that He does not hold anything against me that I've ever done in my life, and nor should I hold that against myself.
Well, it sounds like you're on the track to recognizing your true nature as the energy of love and being able to extend that more easily to everyone and everything around you. And that's the goal of this work. To realize that love isn't the verb. Love is the noun. It's the stuff we're made of. It's that word that goes beyond definition. So, you know, we use a word like love, and we try to pin it down, but in actuality, it's the breath of life, it's the energy of creation, it's our true essence, and being able to tap into that and extend that to everyone and everything around us is the goal of this work. So we definitely support you in doing that, and thank you for the call, and we look forward to an update whenever you feel moved to do so. And I'm sure that Michael will be thrilled in the next week or two when he's back on the show if you call in with another update.
Dr. Kim?
Yes.
Is it true that you are a Vietnam vet?
No, I am not a Vietnam vet. I have been blessed with working with Vietnam vets since I was in college, and they started returning and going to my college. And I have worked over the last, I'd say, 20 years learning different trauma reduction techniques, which has put me in line to work with veterans from Vietnam and on.
Brad is a Vietnam vet, and I'm just wondering, I know there are other vets listening. What do you tell them about love? How do you help them learn to love themselves after what they did, what they were forced to do?
Well, in essence, as I just said, it's not about loving myself or loving someone else. It's about recognizing the energy of creation that's keeping my heart beating, that's digesting my food, that keeps me breathing even when I'm asleep at night, that is the energy of creation trying to express through me, and nothing I've ever done, nothing that's ever been done to me in any way damages that, dents it, rusts it. I am still, and have at my core, the energy of purity and innocence that I was when I was born. And I was a very cute baby, as I'm sure all of us were. And my job in this work is to recognize that any energies that have been stored in my energy system since that time of my innocence at birth that are less than love are available for me to remove, to apply the tools of the breath or the tools of the forgiveness worksheet or the tools of the mind shifter or the tool of the three earliest memories of conflict, or the tool of responsibility communication. And bit by bit, I pull out of my unconscious those energies, thoughts, and beliefs that are less than love or keep generating negative thoughts, and I dismantle them. And I keep referring to how in every spiritual tradition that I've ever explored in any depth, they all have as one of their tenets the understanding that all events are neutral. And it's the spin I put on the event. It's how I choose to interpret it. It's how I filter it through my perception. And it's how it resonates what I let into my perception, how I then use it to resonate or stir up other energies within me. That's what creates my experience of anger or fear or judgment or shame or guilt. And when I understand this work, I understand that each and every one of those energies, beliefs, traumatic energies, and thought patterns that's less than love is available for me to dismantle one tool at a time, one repetition at a time. And I always have to come back to people and let them know some of the best tools on the planet are wonderful until such time as we run into somebody who's had a big trauma. And then that tool doesn't work. And then we have to step back and use a tool that's specifically designed to help dismantle the trauma. Not with a flooding technique, not with a pushing through it and just grit my teeth and barge through it, but to back up and restore the breath, restore the peaceful, safe feeling, and go at it little by little until it's in manageable chunks, until it can be dismantled and seen clearly for what it is. So it's a process, and I would recommend anybody who's been through trauma, whether it's being a violent car accident or having been in a combat situation where they did killing or they saw lots of killing, that they work with somebody who's specifically trained to help dismantle the effects of past trauma and be gentle with themselves and be gentle and patient with the process and know many, many people who've had significant trauma have moved past it, through it, to the full recognition of their true nature as love.
Well, thank you for your...
I hope that helps some, Brad.
Yes, it does. You know, I feel I've made a lot of progress with, you know, the trauma and the guilt and the shame that I experienced, you know, as a result of being in the military. I know there's still residual things there. My biggest hurdle right now is, as I mentioned earlier on, is getting through some of the genetic stuff that's coming up right now by peeling back, you know, some deeper layers right now. But I'll keep working on that. I want other callers to, you know, also get through today. But I'll call back and give you an update soon. And I thank you all for your help and your support.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thanks for the call. So, Michelle, do we have somebody else with their hand up?
Yes, we have some people who I want to acknowledge are just waiting so patiently. We've got about 11 minutes left, so we're going to start with Magda, and she should be live now. Hi, Magda.
Hello, Michelle. Hi, Dr. Tim. Wow, that was an amazing explanation, Dr. Tim. That was just great, profound answer. Thank you for that. And I also want to give a shout-out to Brad and Cindy and let them know that, indeed, they are very supportive. And just keep on doing everything you're doing, and it'll just get better and better. So that, and then my main reason for calling, you'll appreciate this, Michelle, is to do a little confession. Dora called in earlier. I hope she's still listening. I know she talked about giving up sugar and what that brought up for her and so forth. And my report is that I did something for the past 2 weeks that I thought I was way beyond and had a rude awakening, and that was to be in total and complete resistance to using any of the tools to get me through a difficult time. And I had a lot of stress coming up that I was creating for myself by worrying about a deadline that I have, and I kept saying, I just don't have time to do a worksheet. I really need to get on this thing and keep working at it. And I don't have time, and I just have and I'm laughing because, of course, that is one of the most common excuses and one of the least true excuses. So I was just in complete resistance for about 2 weeks. And then it wasn't until I really sat down and did a worksheet, because I realized, I observed myself eating tremendous amounts of sugar. And you probably both know that I like chocolate a whole lot, but that is my preferred version of sugar. But if I can't have that, I'll take any other variety. And it was like, oh, look what I'm doing. There must be something going on. So I finally sat down and did a worksheet, and things changed, and did a few more worksheets on other issues that came up, and my energy just completely shifted, and I was then able to realize that what I need to do is make the time to continually ask Luca for direction and help throughout the day, not just at the beginning of the day and not just at the end, but throughout the day, and continue to do worksheets and breathe. Oh, what a big difference that made when I started to breathe. And so, so now I'm relaxed and enjoying, and I looked at a piece of my favorite chocolate about an hour ago, sitting there in my desk where I would keep a little stash, and it's wrapped up, and I looked at it and went, oh, well, that's interesting, and I closed the desk drawer. So that's my confession for today, and I hope that gives you a chuckle, Michelle.
No, that's a juicy one, Magda. Because I know what there seems to be like some guilt when you know what to do, but then there's a resistance to do it. And then circling back out around to treating myself lovingly, gently, with respect, even in those areas of plateau where something else seems to be going on, but maybe there's not the readiness to take the next dive. I am still trying to figure out what's behind the scenes when those experiences come up, and you're here on the other side talking about it. So
yeah,
you know,
on the other side, and it's wonderful. Yeah,
you know, it's
absolutely
going back to the basics. Remember when Dr. Tim was talking about the class that you know what to do?
Yeah, absolutely, and it is always about the basics and actually using it, and instead of choosing the stuff that I've used in the past to medicate, self-medicate, and to suppress. And you know, it kept coming up the last few days. If it doesn't work, don't use it. You know, if it doesn't work, just don't use it. Choose what you know works. Oh, a worksheet. Breathing. Yes. And getting help from Luca. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I'm a little embarrassed to be saying, you know, to telling everybody this, and I think it's really a good thing to do because I believe that we all go for our rest practice, so I just wanted to put it out there. And that's it.
Well, I want to
thank
you for that, and I want to reassure you and everybody else that I'm a licensed clinical psychologist, and I sit with different people day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. It's 39 years now. And what I tell people is one of the best things I have to offer is the experience I've had all these years where people come in and sit down and they tell me things they won't tell their husband, their wife, their lawyer, their lover, their judge, their best friend, their husband or wife, but they'll tell me. And so that gives me this really broad, deep database about what people's lives are really like. And the one thing I'll tell you that I've learned through all of this is that the enlightened mind, the unenlightened mind, alternately thinks I'm better than, I'm worse than someone else. And the enlightened mind truly realizes at deeper and deeper levels that we're all the same. And the only difference between an enlightened mind and an unenlightened mind is the degree to which someone understands that we're all the same. I would offer, without having the omnipotence of God, I would offer that from my past experience, the actuality is that anybody who has ever picked up these tools has had times when they've used them and used them fluidly and really appreciated them, and times when they've set them down, drifted away from them, dropped them because of resistance, dropped them because they felt they didn't need them because things were going so well, dropped them because they got overwhelmed because things were going so poorly. And none of us is alone in that. So I thank you for your testimonial, and I think it's a fabulous example of how, no matter how far I drift off the path, once I wake up and realize I'm not using the tools that I know can work, if I pick them up and apply them, they start working again.
They do. Absolutely. Because, you know, the tool is what the energy we give to it. And it's just a pattern and a marvelous pattern for us to use. And when we do it, it works. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I want to leave room for, I think you have another call. And just wanted to say hi, let you know that, and thanks for the reassurance.
Well, thank you, Magda. It's a very nice call. And keep up the good work.
I think it's paradoxical. Sorry, apology for over-speaking. What was the word you just used? I lost it. Reassurance?
Mm-hmm.
Paradoxically, that's what you offered, I think, in your sharing. Normalize
good.
It.
I offered and I received.
Mm-hmm.
That's a win-win, isn't it?
Well, I think we'll maybe talk to you very soon, huh?
Yes. Be talking with you tonight.
Exactly.
Okay.
Take care.
Very good. Talk to you later then. Bye-bye.
So, Dr. Kim, there are 2 minutes and 2 callers, so I'm not sure if we want to go there or not.
Well, if we only have 2 minutes left, I'd say we should ask them to call back tomorrow. That really isn't enough time, especially because in about 30 seconds I get the warnings and they start breaking into my ability to hear the caller. So let's invite people to call back tomorrow. And there it is, 90 seconds left. And bring a friend and bring your questions, your comments, and your testimonials about this process. Please go and check out the website, www.whyagain.org. Download the worksheet, print it out, put the pen to the paper, and call us and let us know about your questions and testimonials, and have the best year yet.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.